Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
God gives Peter a second chance. God gives Samson a second chance. God gives David a second chance. God gives Manasseh a second chance. And God gives Jonah a second chance.
Jesus, you're my everything. My heart beats for you. Filled with power and mystery, Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful. Awesome and wonderful.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of Jonah, we conclude this two-part study titled Fulfilling God's Will. Here is Pastor Chris now with a teaching from Jonah chapter 3.
What are you doing to me right now? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. You know that I love you. Jesus says, okay, if that's the best you can give me, Pete, I'll take it. But feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Peter, you're getting a second chance. And here's what he says to him. Listen, look at verse 18 with me carefully. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. That is the picture of the Christian life of one who does their own will. And that was Peter. He was a self-willed man. When you are old, you will do something differently. Here's what he says. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. In other words, Peter, if you love me, lay down your life for me, Peter. Are you willing to give your life? Are you willing to do my will? And he spoke that, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And then he said, follow me. Jesus' restoration of Peter that day is amazing. And when you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and you don't need to go there, I'll just read it to you. Listen to what Peter says. Therefore, brethren, I'm sorry, this is 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. You see, Peter knew what it was to have a call and an election that was sure. Now, what that sure means is it's standing on a firm foundation. He said, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, knowing that I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. You see, Peter learned that he needed to be a man. He needed to be one who would remind others. And he learned that he was one who got a second chance. So God gives Peter a second chance. God gives Samson a second chance. God gives David a second chance. God gives Manasseh a second chance. And God gives Jonah a second chance. Back to the book of Jonah, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh is an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. So it meant to take 3 days to get through the city. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And when he cried out, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Here's the thing. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's the whole message. A simple message. No schemes, no sound systems, no band, no stage lighting, no posters to go before him, no rear screen projector. How would we want to reach a city for the Lord? You know, we have many slick ways that we might want to do things, but God is the one who has to do it. God is the one who goes before Jonah and prepares the way for Jonah. God had been preparing the ground that Jonah was going to walk on for quite some time. He had been preparing the hearts of the Ninevites for a while. You see, sometimes God has gone before a situation, and it's almost like the most reluctant prophet who can't hardly speak or even have that great of a message, he can go along and God's going to do a great work. You know, Noah preached for 120 years and no one listened to him. Jeremiah preached for 40 years and not one single convert in Israel. Yet Jonah preaches 8 words and we're going to see the whole city get saved. What's the difference? The difference is the prep of a heart of revival that God was already doing. The Holy Spirit was doing a work in the hearts of the Ninevites. Now again, we don't know what Jonah looked like. We think perhaps he was an albino bald guy walking down the street. And this city of Nineveh was an amazing city as he comes through here. It was 2,800 years ago. It was known for its military strength. It had walls of 100 feet high built on the top of a solid rock foundation. There were over 1,500 watchtowers in Nineveh, some 200 feet high. And here's this bedraggled, lonely, foreigner, bald, white prophet walking down the street. And he's just saying these simple words, 40 days and there'll be judgment. 40 days, you'll be overthrown. The thing that strikes me is amazing when you think of this, that this formidable city would actually give in to this and that Nineveh could be overthrown in 40 days. Even the possibility of that to them would be unheard of. It's almost like where our nation is today. We think we're invulnerable at times. We think there's no chance we're ever going to be overthrown as a nation. And to have them actually believe the message, and yet they did believe. And that can't be explained in any other way except the sovereign work of God. See, Jonah was no great preacher. In fact, he didn't even want to do it. He didn't even want to preach. And yet here he is. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh, verse 5, believed God. Look at this. Proclaimed a fast. Put on sackcloth. From the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Listen, when God gives a man a second chance and then God uses him like this, this is incredible. What could God do with some who would say today, I need that second chance today, and Lord, if you'll give it to me, I'll obey you. And then what would the rest of your life be like? How would God use your life? What would be the results around you? I think of how God prepares the way. God lays the groundwork. I just came back from BlessFest in Las Vegas. I spent the week in Las Vegas with my daughter for Thanksgiving holiday, I should say. And their church does a thing called BlessFest every year. And what they do is they have in Las Vegas, they have 13,000 homeless people. And so they go and they pick up these homeless people by bus and they bring them to the church. And they let them take showers and they feed them and they clothe them. They give them clothing. They give them lots of goods and things and various things. They have dentists there to fix their teeth. They have hairdressers there. They have doctors there to meet with them and talk with them. There's social workers and all kinds of things. And they basically give these homeless people dignity for a day. And I had the opportunity to be a part of the ministry there and walk around. I was assigned to going and walking around praying with people and evangelism. And you know how the Lord just prepares things. You know, I walked up to this one fellow and I'm walking by him and I see he's got a sweatshirt on and it says, not guilty across the front of his sweatshirt. So I walked up to him and I said, are you really? And he goes, what? Are you really not guilty? He goes, yeah, I didn't do it, man. And I said, no, I mean, are you not guilty? Are you not guilty before God? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're a Christian, you're really not guilty before God. He goes, really? I don't know what that is. I thought the guy was wearing a Christian sweatshirt. I said, started to share the gospel with him and talk to him about the Lord. And the guy prayed with me right there and received Jesus Christ. You see, that morning, the Holy Spirit was preparing the way. When he looked at his wardrobe, he didn't know it, but he was going to pick a shirt that was going to get him saved that day. And when we got finished, I looked at him, I said, now you're really not guilty. You can wear that sweatshirt proudly now, amen? And you see, God prepares the way. He goes before us. And what would God do? Look what he does in this city. It's incredible. It says that he caused it to be proclaimed, verse 7, and published throughout Nineveh to a decree. Can you imagine this? Like a law that says we're going to fast and pray and cry out to God. Can you imagine President Obama? We laugh, but wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, some guy was walking down the streets of Washington and saying, yet 40 days and you'll be overthrown. And the president said, this is true and we need to repent. And I want everyone to wear sackcloth and we're not going to eat and we're going to cry out to God Almighty. Oh, would to God that that would happen in our nation. Even the cattle and sheep weren't allowed to eat. There was no four spiritual laws here. There was no master, way of the master presentation. There was no sort of formula. This was just Jonah and his bald head just preaching on the streets, yet 40 days, and then the judgment. How does revival start? Where does it start? Is revival born out of a prayer meeting, or is the prayer meeting born out of revival? I don't really know which. Doesn't matter to me. It can start either way, right? The Welsh revival back in the early 1900s started with a 16-year-old girl who was saved for only 3 weeks. And in a prayer meeting, the youth pastor asked the question, what does Jesus mean to you? And one of the kids said, well, Jesus is the light of the world. And then this simple 16-year-old girl just said, all I know is I love Jesus with all my heart. And from that little spark, the churches became packed every single day, not just that church, but every church. And they were publishing the revival results in the newspaper every day on the front page of the newspaper. You can go to Wales today, go into their library, and you can actually look at the actual papers with the postings of the amount of people that were getting saved each day as you flip through day by day. Can you imagine? Today it wouldn't be in the newspaper, it'd be on Google or Yahoo or something. You start, you open up your browser and a banner goes across there. You know, 2,000 saved today. Can you imagine if that would happen today? Oh, would to God. And if he can use a 16-year-old girl and an indigestible prophet, he can use us. Goes on, let a man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. And who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Who can tell? You know, God is going to judge this world. There's no question. I don't know if it's going to be 40 days. It might be still 40 years. I don't know. But God is going to judge this world, this Christ-rejecting world. Read the book of Revelation. You can't get away from it. It's clearly there. But would to God that we would have a reprieve, that we would have a time of refreshing that would come from the presence of the Lord in these days before the Lord judges and the Lord returns to this earth. And it's got to start with us. It's got to start with our lives being one where we say, Lord, I'm going to put on sackcloth and ashes, so to speak. We don't have to do it literally. But here's what it says, verse 10. God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. God saw their works. There was something about them. There was fruit worthy of repentance, as it says, as John the Baptist called it. There was something that was changing. Their lives were changing. There was people being different. You see, this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. He wants us to be something different to this world. He wants you to be, and you have a sphere of influence. You have people in your life and around your life. God wants your light to shine. God wants your salt to be salty. God wants to use every single one of us. It's not just about the preacher on Sunday morning or just about coming to church and feeling good about church. It's about being who God called us to be. You see, the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah. God's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Will we submit to that purpose and plan? And if so, will we then fulfill the plan for our lives? And you know what will happen when you do that? When you repent, when you turn away from your ways and you lay your life down and you give your life over, you'll be fulfilled. God will use it tremendously in your life. James put it this way in James chapter 4. He said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, this is where we can be guilty of these things, being double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, that's the road. That's the way. Preaching of Jonah. Jesus talked about it. He wanted us to know how important it was and how it brought repentance, and that it did bring repentance. What will it take for him to bring repentance to us? Here's what Jesus said when the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He answered and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And we know that's true. And Jesus was correlating this story with his resurrection. But then he goes on to say this, listen, the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Who is that greater than Jonah? Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus and his sign is far greater than being swallowed by a fish and spit up on a beach and preaching to a city and seeing 120,000, or actually more, a city of 500,000. There's 120,000 children, so the city was 500,000 people. To see a city like that change, Jesus' sign was far greater than this. His sign was that he is God. He died on a cross. On the third day, after being in the grave, he rose up from that tomb, from that grave. He rose from the dead, proving who he said he was. The generation that listened to him preach, that saw that, did not turn to him. Only an element, only a small percentage of them. What about our generation? You know, I think of my generation and earlier, how the Jesus movement happened in the early 60s and into the 70s and 80s, and how we saw, really, a great revival take place. What about now? It's wonderful to think about those old revivals and what God did, but what about now? What does God want to do today with you and I? Because a greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Jonah is present with us. Jesus Christ is in this room. He's with us. He's in your heart. He's in our lives. If you've given your life to him, he's part of your life. He is your life. And will you turn away from your ways? Will you give up your will? Is there still a chance for us to have the Lord bring revival? I believe so. We need a fresh move of his Spirit. Anybody today want to say, I need a second chance? Raise your hand if you want a second chance. How about a third chance or a fourth chance or a fifth chance? We all do, right? Lord, I need a second chance. What do you do? How do you get that second chance? Well, go back and do the last thing the Lord told you to do. What was that? Part of it certainly is get back into his word. If you've been away from his word and you're dry, come back and start reading his word. You know, we have so many tools today. We got the internet. We've got versions of the Bible you can put right on your phone. By the way, a great one is YouVersion, and it's got all kinds of reading programs and listening programs, and you can just put on the Bible and just listen to the Bible all day. We have so much opportunity. Now, I know I'm talking to you guys that are in church, but get back to church. Maybe some of you, it's the first time you've been here for a while. Maybe for some, it's the first time you've been in church in years. Well, we're glad you're here. Welcome home. Because this is home. I don't mean Cornerstone. If this is your home church, great, that may feel like home. I'm talking about being with Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. And being in church fellowship is part of that. Get back to your devos, your time with him. Get back to a place where you're devoted before him, not just going through the motions, but you're in the word and you're asking him to speak to you and you're allowing tears to come to your eyes because of what he's showing you. Come back to a place of, listen, sharing your faith. You want to see your faith ignite? Start talking about the Lord. You know, that happened to me this week as I was in Vegas talking to these people about the Lord. I realized I love to evangelize, and I do it often, but I sometimes get in my little Christian bubble, you know. I got Christian friends. I got a Christian house, you know. I got a Christian wife. I used to have a Christian dog. Well, I don't think he was a Christian, actually. but, you know, we get in our little bubble, our little world, you know. And we have our little Christianese thing going. And there's a world out there that's dying that needs Jesus. Share your faith with somebody. Talk to somebody about the Lord. There's opportunity available to you all the time. You just need to look for it. And maybe you're not an evangelist, but listen, you can still say to somebody, hey, you know, when they tell you their problems, listen, how many of you work in a business place, people are always complaining to you, right? I mean, that's all they do. They walk around. Sure is cold today. And then when it's hot, oh, man, it's awfully hot today. Griping about something. Oh, man, another day, another dollar. You know what you do? You say, hey, can I pray for you about that? What? You freak them out. Good. Share your faith. Come back to being obedient to the Lord. Come home to Jesus is what it really comes down to. And fulfill his will for your life. And when you fulfill his will for your life, you will experience real fulfillment.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCarrick. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR3206. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of Jonah. Beautiful, awesome and wonderful.